Now, 630 Chad presents the Elks This Week. A close-up look at the Elks and the Canadian Football League. Every week, we take you inside the game. From the voice of the Edmonton Elks, 630 Chad. Here's Morley Scott.
Hello, football fans, and welcome to the show for this week. Hope you're enjoying your long weekend with your family and friends. Man, it's been a big couple of weeks for the CFL. Free agency has been the hot topic, and it's been great hearing it in the news over the last few weeks. Of course, the negotiation window opened up on February the 3rd and closed on the 11th. And on Tuesday of this past week, teams started signing players. After doing most of his shopping before free agency with the signing of McLeod Bethel-Thompson and Boris Beattie, and re-signing most of his own free agents, Elks general manager and coach Chris Jones didn't really make a lot of noise on free agency day.
No, it wasn't very busy. We didn't try to do anything. We knew what we were going after. We'd been talking about it for 3 months, and we knew kind of what we were doing, and we had our targets, and that's what we went after.
Quiet day today for you. Do you feel that you kind of did your free agency work by re-signing most of your own guys that like you did?
Yeah, I mean, we've got, if you look, I mean, we've got a pretty solid group of guys, you know, and our team makeup, I mean, we've got 18 first-year guys that'll now be second year, and then we've got 16 second-year guys that'll be third year. So, I mean, you know, we get good quarterback play, and like I say, I feel strongly that, adding a kicker and adding our returner, I believe, is going to give us an opportunity to have better drive starts and to put both our offense and our defense in better positions.
Are there still free agents you're interested in that are out there?
I believe we're pretty much shutting it down. We like our football team, and you know, I'm not saying that there won't be. There might be somebody that pops up, but you know, we like our football team.
AC Leonard no longer in the picture then?
Well, we're looking, AC is a guy that's been with us. He wanted to, his agent wanted to look around there early. I talked to him about 2 weeks ago, and, you know, he still wanted to kind of look around. He was a guy that we would have liked to have kept, but, you know, at this juncture, it's kind of late, and we're just seeing where he would fit in the cap.
Thanks, Hernan. Thanks, Coach.
Thank you.
The only signing was punt returner Jovan Leek. He had an all-star season in Toronto last year, led the league in punt return yards, and had a 15-yard average on punt returns. Also, 4 house calls last season on punts as well.
Well, I know for sure how hard he is to defend, and I know, you know, the kind of the record-setting year that he had last year. I mean, the Canadian Football League is pretty old, and when they start talking about the best, you know, best ever, I mean, that's a pretty strong statement. And he's got a lot of top end talent. He can play both running back and returner and receiver. 15 yard punt return average. There's a lot to like.
Leek, for his part, very happy to join the herd.
Man, it's just been on me since the free agency opened up, and you know, I just built a connection with G-Roy. He went to Maryland, which is my college that I went to, so you know, it was just a lot of connection there, and then, you know, I got guys over there already, so I just felt like it was a good fit. Everything worked out, and I'm just excited for the opportunity. I can't wait to get to work, so, you know, I love the feel of everything out, so Chris Jones, can't wait to work with him, so this is exciting for me, and it's a new step in my career, so just ready for it. Yeah, I just feel like I can score whenever I touch the ball. That's the confidence I have, and, you know, I feel like I'm a game changer, and I could just help a team out in that phase, so anytime I touch the ball, I just feel like I could be explosive and I could help my team out. So that's what I'm going to try to do with Edmonton. I just, you know, on special teams, hopefully at running back, get a couple touches. So I'm just excited for all that, man. It's just new opportunities. So can't wait.
Jones mentioned his numbers from last year, 1,216 punt return yards. That's the third highest total in CFL history. And Leek hopes he can reproduce those numbers in Edmonton.
You know, we just built a connection. So it was just a lot of work put in, and I just believed in the return and believed in the blocking schemes and all that stuff. So, you know, like I said, I just feel like I'm explosive. And when you got guys like Edmonton has, special teams, good special teams guys, you know, you can do a lot of stuff with that. So I'm just excited to have the same, you know, opportunity I had in Toronto and Edmonton. So I can't ask for more.
With Leak and the newly signed kicker, Boris Beattie, the Elks should be able to improve their field position and create more offense this year. When we come back, we'll head to Europe and find out how a CFL kicker trains in France. This is the Elks This Week on 630 CHED.
Now, more football talk on the Elks This Week. Here's Morley Scott on the voice of the Edmonton Elks, 630 CHED.
His eighth season in the CFL was one of his best, and kicker Boris Beattie was rewarded by getting released by the Toronto Argonauts. He was 95% on field goals, 47-yard punt average, a 71-yard kickoff average as well. After he was released, it sure didn't take the Elks long to scoop him up on a two-year deal. I talked with Beattie last week from his off-season home in France, and we started with his great 2023.
I think comfort. My 2022 season was a very interesting season off the field, personal stuff. A lot of things happened, but also, on the field. This was the first time ever in my 6 year at the time professional where I had to split a spot with a punter, which had never happened to me before. So the 22 was a big adjustment for me, even though, I mean, I wasn't in this league for 6 years before, but it was tough for me to understand that, like, hey, you got to stay locked in for the field goal and kickoff is what you're going to be doing. And I feel like when you're doing all three, you're in the game consistently because third down come up and you still got to stay focused. And at this time, it's like, well, we're not driving the ball, or we are driving the ball. So are we going to punt? Oh, I'm not going in, you know? So it was a little bit it was more of adjustment. And then after this, as soon as I got the rhythm of, okay, well, you're not going to be going in for this, so now just make sure you stay fresh, but you stay focused on your part, knowing that you're not going to be punting, which is one of the also things that I do like to do. It was a little tough for me, and it was a good learning season, I think. 2022 was like my 16th season. It was a good learning lesson where, okay, well, you just got to take in maturity and understand that, like, hey, you're not doing the job. John was doing an amazing job, and he's still doing an amazing job in Toronto. John Haggerty, the punter, and it was just like, okay, well, it's that time where I guess you just got to spit the position with another person.
It sounds like you'd prefer to do all three. Is that your expectations coming to Edmonton, that you're going to handle all three jobs?
No. I'm not jumping on this. I'm a competitor, and I always will be. If the opportunity presents itself, I will jump on it. I am not out there to just come out and be like, hey, I'm here to take this over. But I will have to say that I personally do enjoy doing all three, because you stay busy and you're in the game consistently and you can have a huge impact on all three phases of the game. So I do enjoy it, but I'm not out there to just be, hey, I'm jumping on this and I'm taking this over. I'm not at all. I'm out there to be, like I said, I'm out there to just come, kick balls, and make sure whatever I can do to help this team win games.
Being in the East for your whole career, you probably haven't played a lot of games at Commonwealth Stadium. Does anything jump out at you kicking at Commonwealth, and do you think you'll enjoy it?
I do remember the ball flying a whole lot more than out East. That was one thing that I did. I do remember it was a far field goal for an overtime in Edmonton a couple of years back. I think it might have been like 18 or 19. Left hash might have been like 50 or 52 yard that I do remember out there. But I do remember that the ball flies well compared to the East. I do find it that Calgary, Edmonton are some of the destination where the ball flies well and a lot farther than out East where I've been playing. So I enjoy the stadium. I remember the stadium in 15 because I was like, holy snap, like, okay, this is a big stadium and it's a lot of people there. And I'm really, really honestly, I'm looking forward to fill that stadium up again.
Excellent. Sounds great. You went from Montreal to Toronto. Now you're going to Edmonton. You had to go through it in Montreal, getting the rhythm with a new long snapper and a new holder. How difficult a process is that, and how do you start working on that?
So I got a message today from Jake, the punter in Edmonton, and he's like, hey, are you in Ontario? I'd like to get with you and make sure we can work some mechanics and stuff. And I was like, buddy, I would love to, having known, but unfortunately I'm in France and I'll be doing my whole offseason in France. So, I mean, in camp, it is a stressful environment and it is a competitive environment, but you're still out there to work and better your craft. So I usually take the advantage of, hey, let's take sometimes where whenever we have time down compared to other position, I should say, and let's just work on these little details where we can just get synced in and properly get the whole operation properly.
All right. Where does a guy practice place kicking in France? Is there any football fields there that you can get to, or are you just doing it in a park or situation?
You know, I just go in the middle of the woods. I just find two trees and I just kick in between. No. So we have football. We actually have a good federation that is really supportive of all their exported players. And no, so there's a football team about 25 minutes away from here that actually I really, really respect, because the year of COVID, so 2020, they were the first one to jump on it. They knew I was back in France. They're like, hey, boys, if you need a field to stay in shape and make sure that you get to kick footballs, we just built a brand new turf. We have field goal posts. We got lines, and you can just come out whenever you want to. And as soon as they hit me with that message, I was like, you know what? It's just a random person just, hey, we're here for you if there's any need, you know? And I was like, wow, that's amazing. And I've been supporting them ever since. And I didn't even know actually at the time that they existed, and they were on the come up. So this was it's a Blue Star in Marseille. And so from once or twice a week, I go down to the field and I just go kick footballs with the guys. And it's enjoying, because I kick, I punt, the guys come out and return. And it's just a good time and it's a great vibe. So I enjoy it a lot, going out there and just kick the football around.
How'd you get started kicking in football? Were you a soccer player first and then you converted? I know you went to school in Canada, right? So you played football at the college level in Canada, but when did you start kicking? I did.
So this goes back all the way in 2005, I finished the equivalent of high school in France. And my dad was in Boston, Massachusetts at the time. So he was like, you know what, come on over and then, but come do your school. So start your high school over there, the equivalent of the high school. So I jumped there. I was a sophomore and I was a big soccer player. My dad played professional. He played international, and that was like in the tree line. I was supposed to be playing football, soccer also. And that year in a sports physical education class, the theme that week was football. And as a soccer player, just took the ball and just started kicking it all around the gym. And my one of my teammates, who became teammate Nick LaCour, he's like, hey, buddy, just try something for me real quick. And he like closed the curtains down and he's like, hey, you think you can put this in between? I was like, come on, man. Like, this is just basic for me. So why not? And I did once, twice, three times. And he's like, hey, look, I'm going to be honest with you. Our kicker just had a stroke and he won't be able to play this season. Would you like to just come out and try out? So at the time, I didn't speak English too well. I was just arriving from France. I was young. And for me, like, the vision of like high school is always the football player with the big leather jacket. That's what it's pictured like in France. That's what you see in the shows. It's like the jog guy, you know? And so I was like, you know what? I just arrived. I need to expand my network and I got to learn English quickly. So I was like, you know what, there's about 80 guys on this football team. I can go around and kick football, and if I don't like it, I can just go back to soccer. So I ended up trying out, and then this is how I got into kicking. Almost 20 years later, that's where we're at now.
Now you come to a new team in Edmonton, but man, you got a lot of familiar faces on this team. I think from your days in Montreal and Toronto, starting with Geno Lewis, McLeod Bethel-Thompson, Curly Gittins Jr. Looks like Javon Leak's coming as well. You're not exactly going to be a stranger here.
I shall not. And I've always been, I feel like I've always been a good opponent to whoever I played and always respected my opponents. But that was one of the choices that also made it easy for me to come to Edmonton. First call I made literally as soon as like Edmonton approached and we negotiated, hey, Mac, what's the word? He's like, you know, I'm in, you know how I work. Let's get this thing. And I was like, that's all I needed to hear. Hung up and I was like, we're in, like, no problem. I know Mac, we've became really good friends ever since 21. He welcomed me into his family. I did my gender reveal in his house. I did my son's first birthday at the time over there. His wife and his wife himself, his mother and his daughter have been part of our life ever since 2021, and we're really close. Curly was also one of the guys that was always out at the parties, the birthday parties. So we had like a little crew in Toronto where it was all like parents with kids that were just getting together and just having parties for birthdays or Halloween and Mac would always host those parties. So everybody would show up there and I was like, okay, this is cake. Eugene goes even farther back. Gino, we used to say Free Gino back, I think it was like 16 or 17. He showed up, I think it was like a week before. It might've been like 5 days or a week before training camp ended. And we're like, who the hell is this guy showing up? And I remember him catching two fades and we're like, holy snap, is he going to play? Ended up doing the same thing in the last preseason game. And then the story just went on from there. So obviously it's just easy. It's guys that have been in the locker room that I know are good people. And I could see like management is trying to just bring good people and good vibes to just be able to just keep going. So as soon as I saw the lineup of guys, I was like, okay, for Leek, we've been working together for past 2 years now. I mean, we've been kicking to each other. I've been challenging him every weekend. Like, hey, buddy, don't get tackled by the punter. Don't get tackled by the kicker. I'm coming after you. You know how this works. And it's always been the motivation of like, I got to get after him and just keep teasing him. And, you know, it's one of those young guys that you just keep motivating. And I'm so happy that he got the Special Team Player of the Year. Definitely deserve. He produced a whole lot this year. And I'm happy that he was able to get an opportunity and also get paid at what he's doing because he does it greatly.
Excellent. Your time in Toronto would have overlapped with Chris Jones a bit, right?
Yeah.
Yeah,
it did.
I think part of 21. Did you have much of a relationship with him while you're in Toronto?
So at the time, Coach Jones was the DC when he came in. He was the DC. I think he had a good relationship with Murph at the time. I think that there was, I don't know, there's something in the inside with the DCs that happened, and he ended up coming in for replacement at the time and just took over the defense. But I remember having one conversation with him, and he was telling me, because he's a big, from my understanding, he's a big number guy. He was like, Boris, you know, with the leg that you have, you should be able to punt and pin these teams so deep into like inside the 10 consistently. And I'm like, and I remember talking with him, and I was like, I totally agree with you. But at the same time, it is such a tough thing to do to be able to just pin, like put the ball out where it's not a single, but it's not at the time, it was actually, it's not at the 20. And then now I would love to sit down and talk with him. Like, imagine now you're taking away 5 yards to be able to like kick a ball. And when you're standing back and you're punting and you're like on the 50, the 15 to the zero looks very small. So it's a tiny angle to not get a single or not get a penalty. And I remember just talking with him, and he's like, you know, I have trust in you. You can do it anytime. Just keep doing. And you're going to put our defense in the best field position possible. And then we're going to be winning games like that. And I was like, wow, this is probably one of the only conversations I've actually talked with Coach Jones at the time.
Interesting. Kickoffs. Like, I think you've got the best, the longest average in CFL history for kickoffs. I think it was 71 yards last year. That's difficult, right? Because you want to get it. You want to pin teams, but you don't. Sometimes you don't want the single. You don't want to put it through the end zone. Tell me about working on that and how you've become so good at that.
I'll be lying to you if I told you that I practice kickoffs.
That's it, eh?
That's what you can ask my coaches. I don't practice kickoff during the week. Usually, I just kick the ball during the weekend, but it's not something I should be proud of. I work on it from time to time in the off season, but it's just such an aggressive movement that I'm like, I control it well, I should say. And I just want to make sure I put it at the right spot at the time. So kickoff has always been one of my main strength, I should say, but it's just been power, really. It's just been power, but no hesitation on crushing the ball. No holding back, and just got to put it at the right spot. So a lot of the times, especially now that the ball has been backed even more and even further, the chance of me kicking the ball through the end zone becomes a little less. But I have a feeling that in Edmonton, depending on the weather, and if we do need a single, it might be on demand. So I'm not trying to get ahead of myself. Yeah. We'll see how it goes, but I think that the ball flies a lot better in Calgary and Edmonton is one thing that I do remember. So for kickoff, what you want to do is just put as much hang time as you can, and then with the distance that I'm able to bring with the kick, usually the ball will land around the 5, which is pretty good because that's a 75-yard kick. And the time that the guys make their way downfield, we're covering with 12 maniacs. And that's what I always look for. My kickoff team is just 12 maniacs covering down the field. And the goal is just to stop them inside the 20 so that our defense starts inside the 20 every single time we get on the field.
All right. We're about 3 months from training camp. You seem like you're pretty excited to get there and looking forward to a new season with a new team.
For sure. For sure. I'm excited. I think it's a big challenge. And the people that are already there that I know are the good people to be able to put something special together. I'm excited to meet my new teammates, but I do know that the teammates that I've had before are good people. I know that the coaching staff, because it's not just Coach Jones, but there's a couple coaches on that coaching staff that were on that coaching staff in 21 that I do know also that are good people and that are winners, and I do want to win. So I'm extremely excited about the opportunity because they're putting the right people to be able to just go in and again, bring the city back to the stadium.
Boris Beattie, merci beaucoup. Thanks for your time.
De rien.
Thanks to Boris Beattie, Jovan Leek, and Chris Jones. That's it for this week on the show. I'm Morley Scott. Let's talk more football in 7 days' time on the Elks this week on 630 Chet.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone. Like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.